2020年7月29日星期三，我们再次荣幸的邀请到来的圣让格布为我们继续讲解永恒的启迪年轻是一切当年全为他们讲哈利菲斯兰
加一加一是这一单年加一你加难的
加一加一是这一单年加一你加难的
加一对加强的加一高的巴克布林的
加一对加强的加一高的巴克布林的
加一加一是这一单年加一你加难的
加一
对
加强的
加一高的巴克布林的
加
一对加强的加一高的巴克布林的加一对加强的
加一你加难的加一对加强的加一
Jai Dweta Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Greeting this morning from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela Chapter 22, The Process of Devotional Service.
今天我们继续来讲解永恒的启迪年经，是启迪年乔瑞乔姆瑞塔玛迪亚利拉中篇逍遥的第22章，奉爱服务的程序。
Speaking this morning from Sri Mayapur Dham.
今天早晨我们是在师大玛雅普给大家讲课。
We have entered a new phase of the Monsoon season.
现在进入了新的阶段的这个雨季。
Where we are most probably will be flooded.
那接下来这个洪水就会来。
Which means that the Ganges River has reached the road already, and if it goes beyond the road, then Mayapur will be flooded.
那这个恒河现在已经溢出到这个街道上，如果进一步上涨的话，那么整个马尔普就会被淹没。
So we have already brought home a lot of supplies.
我们现在给家里也添置了一些东西。
Otherwise you have to move around by boat.
买了很多的食材，因为要不然的话可能就得划着船了。
And This is a time of the year where we can absorb ourselves even more in hearing and chanting.
就是在一年的这样的一个季节里呢，奉献者们可以更深地沉入到聆听和唱诵中。
So, as the Ganges is coming to flood Mayapur, let the Chaitanya Charitamrita flood our hearts.
那就像是让恒河泛滥淹没一切一样，也让我们的 Chaitanya Charitamrita 永恒的 Chaitanya 经淹没我们的心灵。
And follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in teaching Sanatan Goswami about the process of devotional service.
现在让我们继续来聆听 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 对 Sanatan Goswami 的教导，有关奉爱服务的程序。
Lord Chaitanya wants everyone to become a devotee of Krishna.
主 Chaitanya 希望每一个灵魂都可以成为 Krishna 的仆人。
Lord Chaitanya wants to deliver all the conditioned souls from material suffering.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 希望所有受到这个物质能量禁锢的这些受条件限制的灵魂都能够得到解脱。
And he does this by extending his unlimited compassion.
他通过他的仁慈的不断的扩展和
Because to engage in pure devotional service is normally not accessible to everyone.
那他通过他的仁慈的不断的扩展来做到这一点。通常来说不是所有的灵魂都能够达到这个对 Krishna 的爱的。
Not only that, but in previous ages, great yogis and great jnanis also try to reach this platform of devotional service, but they cannot succeed.
那在过去的这个年代，那些 yogi, 就是神秘瑜伽的修习者们，以及 jnani, 思辨家们，他们都通过一些苦行，试图要达到奉爱服务的层面，但是呢，他们都无法成功。
Because the key to devotional service is to be surrounded by devotees all the time.
因为在这个奉爱服务当中的关键之处就是在于你的身边总是围绕着奉献者。
Every devotee represents Krishna.
每一个奉献者都代表的是 Krishna.
As we say in English, you can break a straw, but you can't break a bundle of straws.
那就像是英语里面所说的一样，一根草你可以折断，但是一把草却不能够折断。
So we have to always remind ourselves that staying in the association of devotees, even if it's difficult, is the key to making spiritual progress.
那所以呢，我们内心要非常清楚一点，就是说，如果我们想在灵性的道路上面求取进步的话，非常重要的就是能和奉献者始终的在一起，即便是这样的联谊，有的时候会比较的困难。
And this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been emphasizing: good association versus bad association.
所以呢 ，Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 一直在强调这一点，他把这个好的联谊和不好的联谊做了对比。
We have to.Take advantage of being with the devotees, and we have to try as much as we can to avoid those who are not interested in Krishna consciousness.
就是呢，我们要善用和奉献者在一起联谊的每一个机会，同时呢，尽量的去避免和那些对 Krishna 的知觉没有兴趣的人接触。
And when we are with the devotees, even if we are weak, we are carried away by the waves of devotion coming from their own hearts.
那当我们和奉献者在一起的时候，即便我们内心比较的虚弱，但是呢，他们的这个内心的奉爱之情也会把我们包裹。
So the devotees actually take us with them.
所以呢，是奉献者们会带动他们。
And what is the result of such association?
那么这样的一种联谊得到的这个结果是什么呢？
Is that we give ourselves to Krishna entirely.
就是呢，我们会把我们自己全身心的交付给 Krishna.
Of course, from the initial stage of devotional service, we don't know what is to surrender.
当然呢，在这个奉爱服务起步的这个阶段，我们并不知道皈依意味着什么。
But just making, Prabhupada explained, just making a small attempt, even trying a little bit, this really gets Krishna's attention.
那就像是释迦牟尼说的一样，哪怕只是做了非常小的一份努力，些微的这份努力，Krishna 也会关注到。
And Krishna reciprocates.
而 Krishna 呢，他也会相应的给予回报。
He is in the heart. He is watching us. He is listening to us. He is waiting for us to make steps forward.
他一直在我们的心中，他看到我们的一举一动，他也能够聆听到我们，他总是期待着我们能够向他迈出那一步。
As long as we don't commit offenses.
但是有一个前提，就是我们不要冒犯。
Krishna is not going to punish the devotee if the devotee commits offenses.
那如果说奉献者做了一些冒犯的话， Krishna 是不会惩罚他的。
But he's going to remove his mercy.
但是呢，他可能就要收回他的仁慈了。
Not in a sense of retaliation. Krishna does not retaliate, but as a measure to protect the devotee.
但是呢，这并不是一种报复。那Krishna 呢，他是不会采取这种报复的行动的，不过呢，这是他的一种保护，对于奉献者的一种保护。
So in this way, the devotee gets to learn what is the best way to proceed.
所以呢，这样奉献者就会逐步的学习到究竟一种什么样的最好的方式往前进。
We discussed before that when a devotee has an offensive mentality, they will naturally isolate themselves from the rest of the devotees.
那当我们前面已经讲到了，当奉献者呢心中有这种冒犯的念头出现的时候，他可能就会和奉献者保持距离，自己一个人待着。
It's like when people are affected by the virus, they go 14 days quarantine.
就好像是被病毒感染的那些病人，他们会用14天的时间来作为隔离期。
So we have, so we can progress smoothly.
所以呢，我们一定要避免这一点，这样呢才能够畅行无阻的前进。
So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu now wants to move to the next step, which is to enter the actual process. Until now, he's just been preparing the devotee.
那在前面讲的这些内容呢，其实都是围绕着怎么样帮助奉献者做好准备的。那么从今天这里开始呢，主持他连马哈帕布就要进一步往前迈一步，就是说怎么样真正的把奉献者带入到这个奉爱服务之中了。
So he says to Sanatan Goswami, Ebe sadhana bhakti lakshana suna sanatan, yaha hoite poi krishna prem mahadhan. My dear Sanatan, please now hear about the regulative principles for the execution of devotional service. By this process, one can attain the highest perfection of love of Godhead,which is the most desirable treasure.
就是在这里说到呢，我亲爱的 Sananta, 现在请认真的聆听有关如何执行奉献服务的规范原则。通过这样的程序，一个人就可以达到爱神的最高的完美境界，而这就是最享誉的珍宝。
So, by...Saying this, Lord Chaitanya establishes the goal.
那么就 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，就是通过这样的一段话，就确立了明确的目标。
The goal is pure love for Krishna.
那在这里就是指出，这个目标呢，就是爱 Krishna.
That's the perfection of yoga.
这就是瑜伽的完美境界。
That's the perfection of the human form of life.
这就是人类生命的完美境界。
And in order to achieve that goal, we have to begin by regulating the mind, the body, and the senses.
那么要为了要达到这样的一个最高的目标，一个人应当从自己的心意、感官、躯体的规范开始。
Oftentimes, the example is given that someone has a very bad accident.
经常有这样的一个例子来进行一个类比，就好比说一个人他在这个事故当中受了伤
，and has damaged many of the parts of the body, including the brain.
那他那个遇上了这样的一个交通事故之后呢，他的身体的各个部分，包括他的头脑都受了伤。
And then they go into surgery.
这样呢，他就得要做手术。
And then rehabilitation center.
然后呢，再到这个康复中心去。
I saw the other day a short video of a woman who went out to have fun with her friends, and then when she came out of the restaurant, she was hit by one car. Her body flew into the air, and when the body landed, another car came and threw her into the air again.
那上前几天我看到了一个视频新闻，就是说有一个女人她跟别人一起出去玩，然后他们去了这个一家餐厅，当她从这个餐厅里出来的时候呢，突然间有一辆车就冲过来，然后就把她撞到了，她就飞到空中去了，然后从空中掉下来的时候正好另一辆车也过来了，于是再一次把她撞到了半空中。
And she was not dead.
但是她还是没有死。
So she was only a teenager.
她才十几岁。
She stayed in a coma for 25 years.
就这样呢，她就昏迷了25年。
And then she woke up after 25 years.
然后过了25年之后，她居然醒过来了。
And she gradually came back to life and back to a normal life.
然后呢，她就慢慢的就是恢复了生命力，然后慢慢的恢复到一个正常的生活状态。
And she remembered everything.
那她之前发生的那些事情，她都记得清清楚楚。
And her friends, her family, they were all very patient with her, looking after her at every step.
然后呢，她的朋友还有她的家人呢， 在他整个25年的这个恢复期里，每一步都非常耐心的陪伴着。
So this is a great example how the conditioned soul is being thrown off all throughout the universe through so many different species of life.
所以呢，这个其实就是一个非常好的一个类比啊。我们这些受条件限制的灵魂，好像也是被撞飞到这个。宇宙当中，在宇宙当中到处的流浪徘徊，经历了各种各样的生物的形体。
And then you meet the devotees.
然后呢，就遇到了奉献者。
But you don't remember anything.
但是之前所发生的一切，你全忘光了。
The body, the mind, the senses, everything is upside down.
你的这个躯体啊，还有你的心意啊，你的感官呢，都一塌糊涂。
But the devotees are very patient, very loving, very caring.
但是呢，奉献者们呢，他们充满着爱，他们对你呢，充满着这个耐心和忍让。
So Sadhu Sangha is a rehabilitation center.
所以呢，萨杜桑嘎和奉献者的这个联谊就好像是康复中心一样。
We get association, we get prasadam.
我们在这里呢，和奉献者这里呢，就得到了这个 prasadam， 还有呢联谊。
And then the doctor comes in the form of the spiritual master. He said you should have that kind of exercise at this time. You should do this at that time.
然后呢，这个医生就来了。这个医生就是灵性导师，他会教给我们，在这个阶段呢，你要做这个肢体的这个练习，做那个训练。
Like sometimes they put someone in a swimming pool and they exercise how to walk again, but in the water, so they can learn to move their legs.
就好像有一些人，他们之前呢走不了路了，所以呢，这个康复训练的一部分就是让他们在这个泳池里面，身体没在这个水里，在水里面先开始学会，慢慢的怎么样去恢复行走。
I mean, look at what happened to Jayaprataka Swami.
我们来看看一下 Pratika Swami 的情况。
I mean, it's a miracle.
这完全是一个奇迹。
And he is fully active now.
而且他现在是完全的是积极活跃的。
So we have to understand that to enter the process of the practice of devotional service means that we are learning to reestablish ourselves as an eternal servant of Krishna.
所以呢，我们要知道，当我们去进入到 Krishna 知觉奉爱服务的修习的时候，实际上就是重新的开始，恢复到我们作为主的永恒的仆人的一个身份。
That's why Rupa Goswami says we need patience.
所以呢 ，Rupa Goswami 说呢，我们需要耐心。
You don't cure someone who is diseased just in one day. That does not work.
就是说一个人生病了之后，你不可能说一夜之间你就把他治愈了，这是不可能的。
Like we hear some examples of people who become affected by the virus, they take 2 or 3 months to get better, then they get back to normal life, and then again the virus comes up again.
就好像我们听到有这样的消息，有一些人他们得了这个新冠肺炎，然后呢，他们这个。在这个治疗期呢，经历了2-3个月，然后终于正常了，然后他们又回到了他们原本的生活当中，但是呢，后来又感染上了。
Kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya bhavasa sadabad bita nitya sidya sabavasya prakatyam ridi sadhyata. This is a very famous verse. When transcendental devotional service, by which love for Krishna is attained.Is executed by the senses. It's called sadhana bhakti, or the regulative discharge of devotional service. Such devotion eternally exists within the heart of every living entity. The awakening of this eternal devotion is the potentiality of devotional service in practice.
那在这里就是说到了。超然的奉爱服务可以使一个人达到对 Krishna 的爱。当通过感官去执行这些超然的奉爱服务的时候，就被称为 Sadhana Bhakti， 或者说是奉爱服务的规范修习的阶段。这样的奉爱永恒的存在于所有的生物体的心中。 这种永恒的奉爱之情的觉醒，便是一个人通过去履行奉爱服务，就可以唤醒这种永恒的奉爱之情。
So everything that we experience in this material world，
就是我们在这个物质世界里面所经历的所有的一切。
We try to love。
我们试图去爱。
We try to have affection. We try to care.
我们试图去爱别人，试图去关心、关怀别人。
We are active so we can survive. We have to eat. We have to move.
那我们呢？必须要吃东西，必须要行动，必须要保持自己的这种积极的行动力，这样呢才能够生存下去。
We have relationship with friend, with family, with community.
我们和朋友、和家人、和这个社团呢，就要保持这样的一种关系。
We have unlimited desires.
我们也有各种各样的欲望。
So all these things are part of the human construct.
那么我们既然生而为人的话，那么这样的一些欲望呢，就是与生俱来的。
But Shastra explained, because we don't seem to realize it, Shastra explained that these are temporary.And they only bring misery at the end.
但是呢 ，Shastra 就是经典呢，告诉我们，这是我们自己是没有办法觉察到的。就是说呢，所有的这一切都是短暂的，最终给我们带来的只是痛苦。
So as Prabhupada says, we don't need to change anything. We just have to add Krishna.
那就像是他爸说的一样，其实我们什么都不用改变，我们只需要加入 Krishna 就好了。
And that is called sadhana bhakti.
这就被称为 sadhana bhakti.
It's regulated devotional service with the objective or the aim to bring about pure love.
这就是一种奉爱服务的规范的修习。那么其目的呢，就是为了最终达到对 Krishna 的爱。
So again, it's the process of reawakening.
所以呢，这个程序就是一种重新唤醒的一个程序。
Shravanadi kriya tara svarupa lakshana tatashta lakshana upajaya premadhan. The spiritual activities of hearing, chanting, remembering, and so forth are the natural characteristics of devotional service. The marginal characteristic.Is that it awakens pure love for Krishna? Because it's a support.
我刚才问了一个词语，英语里面它这里也说到 marginal， 我就问一下它这个字是什么意思？那来上头说呢是一种支持性的。好，这段诗节就是说，聆听、唱诵、意念等等灵性的活动是奉爱服务的自然的特质。而这种特质呢，就是这种支持性的特质，就是它唤醒了对 Krishna 的纯粹的爱。Okay, this marginal is a 边际性，就是原本是边际性的意思，在这里就是说辅助性的一种特征呢。这种辅助性特征就是可以唤醒对 Krishna 的纯粹的爱。
Okay, let's define marginal better.
那它在英文的这个原文里面用了 marginal， 就是边际性的这样的一个词语。那我们现在再进一步的明确一下它的含义。
In other words, the process or the medicine to take is constant hearing, chanting, and remembering.
那换句话说，就是说在这里呢，在这个康复的这个阶段，你要一直服用的这个药物呢，就叫聆听、唱诵和意念。
And for someone who is mature in Krishna consciousness, these things go without even thinking about it. This is we always eager to hear, chant, and remember.
对于一个在灵性上已经非常成熟的人来说的话，对他来说这些都是自然而然的事情，就是他不需要去让自己去想去唱诵、念诵或者是意念啊、聆听什么的，这个是他本身的这个渴望，所以是自然而然的。
Constantly engaging in hearing, chanting, and remembering, gradually there will be symptoms.
那么当他一直不断的这样去做，就是聆听、唱诵、意念之后呢，这就成了他的一种特征。
Whoa!
形成了它的一个表征，你可以一眼就看出来的。
In other words, this is not like we do something for no result. There are tangible results.
换句话说就是说，这样的一件事情，你坚持去做，不会说是没有什么结果。其实它一定是可以带来一些可以触及得到的一些可见的结果的。
And how do we know there are results?
那我们怎么样才能知道这个？它是会带来这个结果的呢？
Because we can see it in other devotees.
因为我们去观察别的奉献者的时候，可以在他们身上看。
We see it in the senior devotees. We see it in the spiritual master. We hear about it in the scriptures.
我们在这个年长的资深奉献者身上，在灵性导师身上都看到了这个结果，而且我们在经典里面也读到了这个结果。
Can you imagine if you lived in a community of devotees where no one makes spiritual progress?
那么你可以想象吗？你在一个奉献者的社团里面，但是在这个社团里面没有一个奉献者在进步。
Of course, you would be disappointed.
当然，你一定会是非常失望的。
But it's not the case. You can see all around you devotees making progress.
但是事实并非如此，在你身边，就是你随时都会看到一些在这个进步的奉献者。
So it becomes contagious. You want to be like them.
所以呢，它就具有这种传染性，你也希望能够和他们一样。
You can see the symptoms are visible.
你可以看到这种可见的特征。
What are the symptoms?
那么这个征象是什么呢？
Detachment from material activity.
就是呢，他们越来越弃绝这个物质世俗的活动。
And attachment and enthusiasm to serve Krishna.
然后呢，对于就是服务 Krishna 的这种热情越来越高涨，这种依附也越来越强烈。
Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadaka Bunoy Shravanadi Sudachite Karaye Udoy. Pure love for Krishna is eternally established in the heart of the living entities. It is not something to be gained from other sources.When the heart is purified by hearing and chanting, this love naturally awakens. Very famous verse.
这也是一段非常著名的诗节。意思就是说，对 Krishna 的纯粹的爱呢，永恒的建立在生物体的心中。这通过其他的任何途径都不可能达到这种对 Krishna 的纯粹的爱。当一个人的内心通过聆听和唱诵得到了净化的时候，这种爱自然而然的就被唤醒了。
Yes. Okay. So this verse explains that pure love for Krishna is not something that's going to come from an external source.
那换句话说呢，就是对 Krishna 的这种纯粹的这个爱是不是通过其他的这些来源获得的
？It's already there. It's sitting in the heart. It's sleeping.
就是说这种纯粹的爱本身生物体就有，只是说在我们的这个心中，它在沉睡着，是潜在的。
And to awaken that love.Hearing and chanting will do the work.
那要唤醒这样的一种爱的话呢，就要通过聆听和念诵或者唱诵。
So by the simple process of hearing and chanting, this dormant love for Krishna gradually awakens.
所以呢，通过聆听和唱诵这种非常简单的这个方式，对 Krishna 的纯粹的爱呢，就被唤醒了。
Now, eta sadhana bhakti dueta prakar eka vaidhi bhakti raganuga bhakti har. There are two processes of practical devotional service. One is regulated devotional service, and the other is spontaneous devotional service.
奉爱服务的实践呢有两种程序，一种是规范的奉爱服务，另外一种是自发的奉爱服务。
Okay, so two types. One is regulated, the other one is spontaneous.
所以呢，这是有两种，一种就是通过规范修习，还有一种呢是自发自然的。
regulated devotional service is for the beginners in Krishna consciousness.
那这种奉爱服务的规范修习呢，是对这些奉爱服务的初习者而言的。
Spontaneous is for people who are very advanced in Krishna consciousness.
那自然而然的奉爱服务是对那些在奉爱服务中已经达到了非常高的境界的奉献者而言的。
We should not try to be spontaneous artificially.
所以呢，我们不要刻意的去装作一个很自然的样子。
To be enthusiastic is good, but spontaneous is dangerous.
啊，这个热情是非常的好的，但是这种自然而然或者表现成为一种非常随心所欲的，这个就不太好了。
Because the word spontaneous by definition is something which comes naturally.
因为呢，这个英文里叫 spontaneous， 这个中文的意思就是说是自然而然的，就是自然而发的。
So, because Krishna, love for Krishna is not coming forth naturally, we have to do it by regulation.
所以呢，因为我们的这个对 Krishna 的这种爱还不能自然而然的到来，所以呢，就是要通过一些规范的修习才能够逐步的达到。
Okay, raga hina jana baje shastrena agyaya vaidhi bhakti bhali thare sarva shastre gai. Those who have not attained the platform of spontaneous attachment in devotional service, rendered devotional service under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, according to the regulative principles mentioned in the revealed scriptures. According to the revealed scriptures, this kind of devotional service is called Vaidhi Bhakti.
对于那些在奉爱服务当中还没有达到自然而然的依附之情的人而言，他们必须在一位真正的灵性导师的指导下，根据启示经典中所揭示的规范原则而执行奉爱服务。根据启示经典，这一类奉爱服务被称为 Vaidhi Bhakti。
So from the very beginning,It's like when you, sometimes people register to go to the gym, and then they pay some extra money and they get a coach.
那就好比说呢，有的人他买了一个健身卡，那到了这个健身中心之后呢，他再交一些钱，那么就会有一个私人教练去指导他。
This is a good example also.
这也是一个非常贴切的例子。
Some people sign up to go to the gym and they think they can do everything and then they break a shoulder.
就好像有一些人他们买了一个健身卡到就是健身中心去训练，他们不想要这个指导教练，所以就自己练，结果把这个肩就给弄伤了。
Because they are overconfident and too enthusiastic.
一个就是说他太热情了，他太激动了，自己一个人去练。还有一个呢，就是他过于自信了。
But people who don't know, they take a coach, and the coach will say, you do three of these, you do five of these, you do ten of these.
那么就是那些对这个怎么健身还不太了解的人，他们就花一些钱请个这个教练去指导他，所以那个教练就会告诉你呢，这个练三下，那个练五下，那个练十次。
So in spiritual life, we need the guru, we need the spiritual master.
所以呢，在我们的灵修的生活当中，我们的确是需要灵性导师的。
So the first thing that we hear when we come in contact with the devotees is Srila Prabhupada.
当我们进入到这个奉爱服务当中，首先听到的名字就是 Srila Prabhupada。
Srila Prabhupada is everyone's spiritual master.
那 Srila Prabhupada 呢，是我们每一个人的灵性导师。
And by his own personal example and by his teachings, we get to know Krishna.
通过他自己的这个典范的榜样作用，也通过他的指导，通过他的教导，我们就逐渐的了解 Krishna 了。
So,Srila Prabhupada is guiding all the devotees who come to this Krishna consciousness movement.
所以呢，对于所有的进入到 Krishna 知觉运动中的人而言 ，Srila Prabhupada 呢始终是我们的指导。
And therefore, it is the duty of every devotee to take full shelter of Srila Prabhupada as their spiritual master.
所以说呢，要完全的去 托庇于施拉帕卡，将施拉帕卡作为我们的永恒的灵性导师，这是每一个奉献者的职责。
So Srila Prabhupada is giving us his own personal guidance.
所以呢，施拉帕卡呢，他是在亲身的引导着我们。
He's teaching us how to apply all the regulative principles which Lord Chaitanya is going to list shortly.
他在告诉我们，在奉爱服务当中，我们应当做哪一些的规范原则。这个呢 ，Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 接下来就会一一的罗列。
Srila Prabhupada said, "I don't add anything, I don't subtract anything, I just pass down the knowledge as I have received it."
那释迦牟尼佛他说呢，我不增不减，我是完全以我所接受到的知识的原本的面目传递给你们的。
But Srila Prabhupada did make adjustments according to time and place.
不过呢，根据这个时间、地点和实际状况，施拉帕卡呢，他也因地制宜的做了一些调整。
And he was very highly criticized for making those adjustments.
那就是因为他所做出的这些调整呢，他受到了很多人的批评责难。
Because applying the regulative principles of sadhana bhakti in aenvironment, spiritual, cultural environment like India, and applying it in other country is different.
因为在印度这样的一个充满着灵性文化氛围的一个国度去修习这个规范修习，和在印度之外的那种环境去修习是非常的不一样的。
The fundamental principles of practicing sadhana bhakti is the same everywhere, but the environment and the circumstances can change from one country to another.
那么这个规范，奉爱服务的规范修习，就其它的这个精髓和大的原则而言呢，是一样的，是不会改变的。但是呢，各个国家、各个地区的环境，还有这个地点，就是所带来的这种背景都不一样。
So Prabhupada introduced many things to accommodate the people from all over the world.
所以呢，释迦牟尼佛呢，他就做了一些调整，也就是创造了一些新的东西，这样子就是为了让世界各地的人，不同文化、民族的人都可以包容进来。
And everyone else who is guiding us is assisting Srila Prabhupada.
那所有的在指导着我们去做奉爱服务的人，都是在辅助施拉帕布帕。
So in the beginning, we learn to do certain things which are favorable for spiritual progress.
那在开始的时候呢，我们要做一些有利于就是奉爱服务的事情。
We hear from the guru.
比如说，我们去聆听灵性导师讲的话。
We follow the instructions of the guru.
我们去遵循灵性导师给予我们的指导。
And Srila Prabhupada emphasized the practice of sadhana bhakti, and as part of the practice, also to engage in deity worship.
那么在这个规范的这个修习当中呢，Srila Prabhupada也就是引入了神像崇拜，这个也是作为规范修习的一个重要的组成部分。
And even though deity worship is not very strongly emphasized in China, we have to understand the reason why Srila Prabhupada emphasized so much that devotees engage in worshiping deities.
虽然在我们中国对于神像崇拜这一点并没有非常大的去强调，但是我们一定要知道，释迦牟尼佛把这个神像崇拜导入到这种规范修习当中作为一个很重要的一个部分，那其这个意图我们一定要明白。
When we chant Srila Prabhupada's pranam mantra, nirvisheshas namaste saraswati devi gauravani pracharine,Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschacha Deshatarine.
这个就是给Srila Prabhupada的这个导文 Pranam Mantra.
So it means that Srila Prabhupada has brought to the Western world this process of Bhakti Yoga.
那就是Srila Prabhupada呢，把这个奉爱瑜伽的这个程序带到了西方世界。
to remove nirvishesha and sunyavad, complete voidism and impersonalism.
那就是呢，就是把这个nirvishesha和sunyavad，就是说呢，就是为了要驱散西方世界的这种非人格主义和虚无主义。
So in other words, by engaging in the process of deity worship, we remove this impersonal disease from the heart.
也就是说呢，通过这个神像崇拜的这个程序，我们就把我们心中的这种被称为非人格主义的疾病给清除掉。And
it doesn't have to be a very elaborate process.
也不用是做的是非常的复杂繁复。
Okay, in places like Mayapur and Vrindavan or certain temples in the West, the process of deity worship is very elaborate, very opulent.
当然了，在这个Mayapur、Vrindavan呢，还有在国外的一些庙里面，那这个神像的这个服务是非常繁复、非常华美、非常隆重的。But
all we need to do is to have even just some pictures and set up a beautiful little altar and pay attention to the form of Krishna.
但是对于我们来说，我们可以简化到只是去设立一个神坛，甚至上面放的呢，也就是照片。但是我们要把我们的注意力专注在主的形体上。And
serve the form of Krishna.
然后呢，要向
So that the attention is shifted from our own personal self-interest to serving Krishna as a form.
所以呢，这样呢，就把我们的这个兴趣点从我们自身自我中心转移到对 Krishna 的形体的服务上了。
And Prabhupada explained why also we push deity worship, because when you worship the deities, you must be clean.
还有呢，就是Srila Prabhupada他说，为什么我们一定要去做神像崇拜呢？是因为当你去做这个神像崇拜服务的时候，你必须要非常的洁净。And
when you do deity worship, you must be punctual.
此外呢，你做这个神像崇拜还必须非常的准时。So
these things Prabhupada put so much efforts.
这个呢，Srila Prabhupada费了很大的功夫。
Wherever he went, he established, Prabhupada did not establish ashram, Prabhupada established temples.
那我们要知道，Srila Prabhupada建立的不仅仅只是修院，这个ashram，而是庙宇，神庙。If
you read, and I hope you do read, the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, which is now published, printed, and distributed, you will see how Prabhupada systematically took deities out of India and brought them to the West and installed them, gave initiation to the devotees, and engaged them in the process of deity worship.
那如果大家看了这个出版的这个Prabhupada Lilamrita，就是Prabhupada逍遥甘露这个书的话，那么我也希望大家能够去读这两本书，那么就可以看到Srila Prabhupada他是怎么样把神像从印度请走，然后请到这个西方国家，然后又是怎么样设立的神像，又是怎么样去启迪奉献者，然后又怎么样教他们去做这个神像崇拜，怎么样去做所有的这些程序的。
I mean, there are amazing stories how Prabhupada established these deities around the world.
那Srila Prabhupada是怎么样在世界各地去设立这些神像的呢？这些故事、这些经历真的是令人惊叹。The
story how Prabhupada got the deities in London. I mean, this is just an amazing story.
比如说在伦敦，这个伦敦的这个神像，Srila Prabhupada是如何请到的？这个也是。 真是不可思议，是个奇迹。The
story how Prabhupada secured land in Bombay to establish the deities of Radha and Krishna.
然后呢，这个Srila Prabhupada他是怎么样在孟买争取到了那片土地，然后又怎么样去设立了 Radha Krishna 的这个神像，也是不可思议的。Even
the deities that Prabhupada brought to Australia.
还有呢，Srila Prabhupada请到澳大利亚的这个神像也是。
And Prabhupada didn't have much time to train the devotees. He just gave some very basic instructions, and then the devotees just picked up those instructions and made an amazing arrangement for the deity's comfort and service.
那须拉帕帕当时并没有很多的时间，仔细的手把手的教奉献者所有的这些比较复杂的神像崇拜的程序，他只是把一些最简单最基本的这个原则交给了奉献者，但是奉献者却铭记于心，而且非常认真的去执行了，然后呢把这个神像服务的非常好，为神像创造了非常舒服的这个环境，非常悉心的去服务崇拜神像。
Prabhupada says in Vrindavan there are approximately 50,000 people.
那就是舍帕瓦他说在文达文大约有五万人。
He said, but there are 5,000 temples.
但是呢在文达文却有五千个神庙。
In some temples, Krishna is very gorgeously worshipped.
在有一些神庙里面呢这个崇拜的这个 Krishna 是非常的隆重的繁复的。
Sometimes the temple is just a small little alcove.
那有一些这个神庙就是非常简单的只是一个非常简单的神龛。
Sometimes Krishna is in someone's home.
有的时候呢这个 Krishna 是在家里崇拜的。
Sometimes Krishna is worship on the tree.
有的时候是在树上崇拜被崇拜。
Sometimes Krishna is hanging on someone's neck.
有的时候呢这个 Krishna 是挂在像个吊坠一样挂在人的脖子上面崇拜的。
But Krishna is everywhere.
但是呢 Krishna 呢是无处不在的。
And you can see the vibration, how people relate on the personal level, not the impersonal.
但是你可以看到呢，这些人他们和 Krishna 之间的这种关系，都是一种人格性的关系，并不是非人格的。
So we have to make this effort. This is a very, very important part. We're going to discuss it further, but this is such an important part of a devotee's life.Every day to offer an arti, to wear clean clothes, to bow down to the deities, to offer flowers, to offer food.
这个对奉献者的奉爱生活来说是至关重要的。我们之后还要进一步详细的来探讨。那对于奉献者来说，每一天穿上干净的衣服，然后呢，在神像面前去顶拜，然后去献上arti，献上鲜花，供奉食物是极其重要的。
Now very soon is going to be the celebration of the appearance of Lord Balaram.
很快就到了主 Balaram 的显现日了。
And the festival of Julan Yatra.
然后是 Julan。Yatra 就是秋千节
means Radha Krishna go on the swing for 1 week.
就是说有一个星期的时间 ，Radha Krishna 呢要在这个秋千上面这个荡秋千，天天这个就叫做秋千节 ，Julan Yatra.
And then there's the festival of Janmashtami.
然后呢，就接下来就是 Janmashtami， 就是 Krishna 的显现日。
And then there's the festival of Radhashtami.
然后是 Radha 的显现日。
All these festivals are centered around the deity, so the devotees can purify their eyes and purify their heart in a relationship with Krishna.
那所有的这些节日都是围绕着 Radha Krishna 的这个神像所展开的。那通过这样的这个服务，通过这些庆典呢，奉献者的眼睛、奉献者的心灵都可以在和主的这种人格性的关系当中得到净化。
So, devotees should be enthusiastic to engage in those things.
所以呢，奉献者们都应当满怀热情的去做这些奉献服务。
Smartavya satatam Vishnur Vismartavyo najatu chit sarve vidhi nishedasyur etayor evakinkara. Lord Vishnu, Krishna is the origin of Vishnu.Should always be remembered and never forgotten at any time. All the rules and prohibitions mentioned in the Shastra should be the servant of these two principles.
接下来的这段话呢，就是说到Krishna 是 Vishnu 的源头，人应当时时刻刻的铭记主 Vishnu， 永远不要忘记主 Vishnu。 在 Shastra 经典当中所提及的所有的规范、原则以及禁忌呢，都应当服务于这两大原则。
So this is also found in the Nectar of Devotion by Srila Rupa Goswami.
这个也是在 Rupa Goswami 的奉爱的甘露当中提及的。
Always remember Krishna, never forget him.
这就是永远记住 Krishna, 永远铭记 Krishna, 永远不忘记 Krishna.
So, always remembering Krishna means the practical aspect of devotional service.
这个恒常的铭记这个 Krishna 呢，意思就是说，日常的这种实际的奉献服务。
And never forget Krishna means spontaneous devotional service.
永远不忘记 Krishna 的意思就是说是一种自然而然的奉爱服务。
So Prabhupada explained that we introduce into the practice of devotional service the chanting of the Maha Mantra every day.
所以呢，Srila Prabhupada呢，他说就要把这个每天的唱诵 Maha Mantra 纳入到我们的规范修习中。
And Prabhupada says,Logically speaking, it should be expected that the devotee should chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 24 hours a day.
那沙帕帕也说呢，按理说奉献者应当是一天24小时的来念诵 Hare Krishna Maha Mantra.
But are we on that level? No.
但是我们是否已经达到了这个层面呢？那还差得远呢。
As we know, when Srila Prabhupada came to the West, he...introduced the chanting of the Maha Mantra at 64 rounds a day.
那最初释迦牟尼佛来到西方国家的时候呢，他让奉献者每天念诵64圈。
But then he soon realized that devotees could not do that.
但是他很快就意识到奉献者根本就做不到。
And if they were going to chant 64 rounds, nothing would be done.
如果他们每个人都去念诵64圈的话，那可能。很多实际的事情都做不了了。
Then he brought it down to 32 rounds.
然后呢，他就降到了32圈。
And still they could not do that.
但是还是做不了。
So then he brought it down to 16 rounds, and he said, "This is absolutely necessary to be engaged in devotional service to chant 16 rounds every day."
那最后他又降到了16圈。他说，一个奉献者要想做奉爱服务的话，这16圈就是必不可少的。
So this is something that devotees should understand, that chanting 16 rounds is the minimum number of rounds for anyone who wants to be initiated.
所以呢，奉献者一定要明白这一点。谁想要接受这个 Krishna 知觉的启迪的话，就必须至少要念诵，每天念诵16圈。
But we have to be careful not to push people artificially to chant 16 rounds if they are not ready.
但是我们也要小心一点，就是要是人们还没有准备好的话，我们不要刻意的去强迫他念诵16圈。
People can chant 4 rounds, 8 rounds, 12 rounds, and gradually go up to 16 rounds.
他们可以分阶段的来念，比如说从4圈念好了之后，再上升到8圈，再到12圈，最后到16圈。
But toReceive initiation from the spiritual master, one must be very strict in chanting 16 rounds a day.
但是如果谁想要接受灵性导师的启迪的话，那么每天的16圈，至少这个16圈的这个念诵呢，就是必须的。
Now, when it comes to remembering Krishna, Prabhupada says, it's not just the 16 rounds that we chant every day.When we cook, we remember Krishna. When we clean, we remember Krishna. When we sell books, we remember Krishna. Every activities that we do throughout the day is an activity that will remind us of Krishna.
那释迦牟尼佛也说了，除了这16圈的规范的念诵之外呢，我们还要讲到一个永远不就是不忘记 Krishna， 不忘就是要时时刻刻的意念 Krishna。那么你就可以，比如做饭的时候。打扫卫生的时候派书的时候，你这一天当中做所有的这些活动的时候呢，都要去想着 Krishna， 都所有的这些服务都可以让你想起。
So now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Vividanga sadhana bhaktira bahuta vishtara sankshepe kahiye kichu sadhana nangashara. I shall say something about the various practices of devotional service, which is expanded in so many ways. I wish to speak briefly of the essential practices.
那其他的马哈帕普接下来说呢，现在呢，我就要开始讲述奉爱服务的各中的各种各样的修习，这些修习是包罗万象的，我将简要的去讲述其中最基础的服务。
So Lord Chaitanya says, I will say something.
那其他的马哈帕普说呢，他说现在我要说一下。
He doesn't say, I will say everything.
他就是说呢，说其中就是他要谈到一二，他并没有说他要把所有的都一一的讲。
And he said, I speak briefly.
他就是说呢，他简要的说一下，他说。
Not expanded.
就是不是呢，就是非常复杂的去讲到所有的具体的。
You finished? So it means that Lord Chaitanya is teaching Sanatan Goswami, expecting him to expand.
所以呢，其实就是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，其实就是在给 Sanatan Goswami 去讲非常精要的那些部分，但是他是希望 Sanatan Goswami 去进一步的去阐释、去扩展的。
And Lord Chaitanya said exactly the same things to Rupa Goswami when he was teaching him previously.
那之前 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 在教导 Rupa Goswami 的时候，他也说了几乎是相同的话。
He said to him, he said.The ocean of devotional service is so vast, but I'm just going to give you one drop.
那当时呢，他对 Rupa Goswami 说的是这样说的，他说奉爱服务呢，就是浩如烟海，但我现在只是给你讲其中的一滴而已。
And then you can expand on it.
然后你可以进一步去扩展。
So this was the main work of the Goswamis of Vrindavan, is to expand on the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
所以说呢，就是Vrindavan 的六个 Goswami, 他们所致力于的这个毕生的服务就是在这里了，就是说他们要以 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 给他们的教导为基础，去扩展，去阐释。
So when we have Bhagavad Gita, Nectar of Devotion, Sri Sopanishad, and Nectar of Instruction, that is called Bhakti Shastri.
所以我们有这个 Bhakti Shastri, 那 Bhakti 奉爱的经典的这个学习呢，主要是包括国家梵歌。然后至尊奥义书、奉爱的甘露、教会的甘露这四本书。
When we have the first six cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, we have Bhakti Vaibhava.
那么顺典博伽瓦坛的前面的六篇的课程呢，就被称为 Bhakti Vaibhava.
When we have the other six cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that is called Bhakti.
然后呢，就是再接下来的就是圣典博伽瓦坛的后面的六篇，也就是从第七到第十二的话呢，那这个就是 Bhakti Vedanta 课程。
And when we have the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have the Bhakti Sarvabhauma.
然后再进一步的话去学习Chaitanya Charitamrita 永恒的 Chaitanya 经，那么就是 Bhakti Sarvabhauma。
So when we have all these scriptures,
当我们把所有的这些经典
we have the embodiment of all the knowledge that is known in the spiritual and the material world.
就是当我们拥有了所有刚才我们所讲述的这些经典的话呢，其实就是拥有了灵性世界和物质世界的所有的知识，因为他们就代表一切的这些知识呢都囊括于其中了。
And this is the work that the Goswamis of Vrindavan did. They studied all the revealed scriptures, not just the Vedas, all the scriptures. And then they summarized everything and put them into those books that we have today.
那 Vrindavan 的六 Goswami 呢，就是这样的。他们不仅阅读了所有的伟大经典，阅读了所有的这些奉爱的经典，然后他们进行了这种概述，进行了编纂，然后呢，就呈现出了我们现在所读到的这些书。
When we spend a little time pondering and thinking about the treasure that we have received in terms of these literatures, it is impossible to repay the debts to the Goswamis of Vrindavan and to the Vaishnava Acharyas.
所以呢，当我们如果能够花一些时间，静下心来，深深的去沉思一下，就是真正的去深入的去思考一下，我们所获得的所有的这些文献是怎么样来到我们的手中的，那我们就会觉得这他们都像是一个巨大的保障一样，我们是永远不可能去回馈或者说去偿还我们对六 Goswami 还有历代的 Acharya 们先师们的亏欠的。
Because we have to understand that the Acharyas and the Goswamis and Lord Chaitanya did not just give us books which are full of rules and regulations.
我们要知道这些 Acharya 们 Goswami 们 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他们所给予我们的这些书里面不是说只是充斥着规范的修习。
If they did so, it would be so dry and so boring.
如果里面都是讲的只是规范修习的话，那就会显得非常的干枯，也会让人心生厌倦。
They have opened through the pages of the scriptures the doors to the spiritual world, and they have invited us to go inside the spiritual world and see what it's like to give us a taste.
那他们其实通过这些经典的书页，通过字里行间为我们打开了以灵性世界的大门，而且不仅如此，还邀请我们进入到这个灵性世界当中去品尝其中的甘露。
And you will see this methodically and systematically in all the books that the Goswamis and the Acharyas have given us. They're giving us both the practical aspect and the spontaneous aspects of what goes on in the spiritual world.
所以如果我们去纵览这个 Goswami 这些 Acharya 们这些经典的话呢，我们就会看到他们的这个呈现的灵性知识的这个方式是非常系统，非常循序渐进，而且是包罗万象的。他们有两个部分，主要是两个大类，一个就是规范修习的这个部分 ，sadhana 的部分，然后还有另外一个部分呢，就是这种自然自发的这种灵性的服务。
You take any book, you will see these aspects of the mechanical process, and you see the aspects of what it's like to be established on the pure platform of love for Krishna.
所以你拿起任何一本书的话，你都会看到这个两个部分，其中的一个部分呢，就是循序渐进的这样的一个规范修习的这个部分，看似是比较的这个机械的这个部分。然后呢，还有一个部分呢，就是一个灵性的自发自然的那种情感，由然而生的那种情感是怎么样的？那种灵性的自然的情感是怎么样的？
So Lord Chaitanya, being non-different than Krishna, he empowers the Goswamis by giving them the basic understanding of what it takes to become a pure devotee, and then they go into Vrindavan, they sit in Vrindavan, and they elaborate on all theDifferent pastimes of Krishna and what it takes to get to the pure level of love for Krishna.
那么就是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，他就花了一点时间和这 Goswami 们在一起，然后呢，就是传授了他们怎么样去达到纯粹的奉爱服务的这个精髓，然后呢，就派遣他们到了 Vrindavan， 他们是在 Vrindavan， 他们就基于 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 所给予他们的这些精髓，所以呢，就去扩展去阐释，然后就创作了很多很多的这个作品，然后去交给这受条件限制的灵魂，怎么样一步一步的达到对主的纯粹的奉爱服务，怎么去达到那种纯粹的奉爱之情。
So next, Lord Chaitanya will introduce the very first principle of devotional service, and we will discuss that next week.
那么就是说接下来呢， Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 就要 去阐释奉爱服务的这个实践当中的第一步，这个就是我们在下一周要讲的主题。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. 好，我们现在看一下大家有没有什么问题。
嗯。
Can you open?Rajendra Prabhu 询问一个问题，感谢 Prabhu 实用的讲课，感谢翻译和主持。您提到我们与圣恩 Prabhupada 关系的重要性，提到了托比施拉 Prabhupada 的重要性。那么目前我们与在世灵性导师的关系和我们与施拉 Prabhupada 的关系如何看待？有时专注于灵性导师的关系，似乎忘了与 Prabhupada 的关系；有时专注于施拉 Prabhupada 的关系，似乎忘了与灵性导师的关系。这两者关系是一回事吗？谢谢。Thank you very much for your practical class, and thank you the translator and the MC. Not MC. Okay, sorry. The organizer of the class. You mentioned about the importance of keeping the relationship with Srila Prabhupada. You also mentioned about the importance of taking shelter of Srila Prabhupada. So in terms of our relationship with our present spiritual masters and also the relationship with Srila Prabhupada, how do we consider the two different kinds of relationshipSometimes when we are focused on the relationship with spiritual master, we seem to forget that with Srila Prabhupada, and vice versa. When we are focused on Srila Prabhupada's relationship, then we tend to forget the connection with the spiritual master. So what about these two different relationships? Are they non-different? Thank you very much.
It's important for both parties to be aware.
就是说这两个部分，一个是和Srila Prabhupada的关系，还有一个和灵性导师之间的关系，这两个都应当深植于你的意识之中。
We should remember that what we learn from our present spiritual master is what he has learned from Srila Prabhupada.
我们一定要明白一个道理，就是我们现在从在世的灵性导师那里学到的一切，也恰恰就是我们的灵性导师从 Srila Prabhupada 那里学到的。
So it's very important for a guru to emphasize Srila Prabhupada's teachings.
所以呢，作为一个灵性导师，他要时刻的去强调Srila Prabhupada的这个教导，这一点是极其重要的。
Now we are benefiting from the association of those who were in Prabhupada's close association.
那现在我们非常幸运的能够得到那些曾经和Srila Prabhupada亲密的在一起的那些奉献者的联谊。
So we have a first generation of gurus.
所以呢，就是我们有第一代的 guru 灵性导师。
And then gradually you will have a second generation of gurus, and a third, and a fourth, and a fifth generation of gurus.
那慢慢的随着时间的推逝呢，你就会有第二代咕噜，第三代，第四代，第五代咕噜。
Now the question is, will Srila Prabhupada be as relevant as he is today in 100 years from now?
那现在我们要提的一个问题就是说，在100年之后，Srila Prabhupada和我们奉献者的这种关系是否还会像现在或者过去那么的就是密切。那么的密切呢
？Like how many devotees in China really know Srila Prabhupada as a person, as an acharya through his teachings？
或者说是那么的息息相关呢？就是说我们现在中国的这个奉献者是否真的能够通过 Srila Prabhupada 所给予我们的教导，还有他所给予我们留下的这些书籍，去体会到和 Srila Prabhupada 之间的那种密切的关系呢？
And actually, as a matter of fact, how much do they know of their own guru?
那么还有一个事实我们想提出来的，就是这些奉献者他们对自己的灵性导师是否 也是有深入的了解呢？
You'd be surprised that there are devotees who don't really have a relationship with their guru and they don't have a relationship with Prabhupada.
你可能你们会觉得奇怪，不过这也是个事实。有好些奉献者和自己的灵性导师之间，这种关系都不深，跟施拉帕帕之间似乎也没有什么关系。
So this is a very important aspect of keeping this association of devotees striving by always keeping Prabhupada in the center as the main generator.Of pure bhakti, because we are dealing here with a Paramahansa Mahabhagavat devotee, not just any devotee.
所以说呢，就是说在我们跟奉献者的联谊的这个过程当中呢，始终就要强调施拉帕法是我们的这个生命的核心，就好像是一个不断的去就是产生 bhakti 奉爱的。这个电的一个发动机一样，它是那个巨大的这个引擎因为它不仅仅是它是一个Paramahansa 至尊天鹅，它是 Mahabhagavat， 它是最伟大的这个奉献者，所以它的这个重要性是无与伦比的。
So we get the strength and the vitality to want to surrender to Krishna.By approaching those who are the purest.
所以呢，只有当我们去接近那些最纯粹的奉献者的时候呢，我们才会获得去这个做就是获得去做奉爱服务的这种活力那种热情。
Why are we so attracted to read the books of the Goswamis or to read the Srimad Bhagavatam or to read the Bhagavad Gita? Because they are spoken by.The purest of devotees.
那为什么我们会被这个六哥斯瓦米的这些文献，还有博伽瓦坛、博伽梵歌这些经典所深深的吸引呢？是因为这些经典都是由最纯粹的人呈现的。
So we have the Diksha Guru that brings us into the disciplic succession, and then we have the Shiksha, which is actually bringing us back to the spiritual world.
所以说呢，我们就是有这个启迪灵性导师 Diksha Guru， 他呢把我们带入到这个使徒的传系当中去，然后我们有这个 Shiksha Guru 训示的 Guru， 是真正的把我们带回到灵性世界，回归神手的那一位。
This is the subject matter for next week's class.
这个呢也是我们下周的这个课上面的一个讲解的要点。
Sometimes the Diksha Guru will be the Shiksha Guru, but not all the time.
有的时候呢 ，Diksha Guru 就是启迪的灵性导师，就是你的 Shiksha Guru 训示灵性导师，但是有的时候也有例外。
So from the side of the disciple, it's not a question of who is giving the most. It's a question of having the attitude of a disciple. It doesn't matter whether you're looking up to a Diksha Guru.Or a Shiksha Guru, a disciple is there to serve.
那作为一位奉献者来说的话，一位在修习的奉献者来说，最关键的不是说你到底是从 Diksha 取经聆听导师那里得到的多，还是从 Shiksha 你训示聆听导师那儿得到的多。在这里的一个问题的关键，还是作为门徒的这种心态，你有没有对这个灵性导师的服务的这种心态？
And we serve by submissive inquiry.
然后呢，我们就是通过一种非常谦卑的恭顺的这种寻以疑难的态度来接近于他们。
Now it is the duty of the guru to instruct the disciple in such a way that the disciple will always be connected with the founder Acharya.
那这个灵性导师呢，他有责任要。这样的去指导我们，去教导我们，使得我们时时刻刻都能够和我们的创办的这个 Acharya， 就是释迦牟尼紧密的连接在一起。
嗯。
OK， finish。
嗯。
好，这个问题先回答到这里。下一个问题来自于田慧霞 ，Hare Krishna Guru， 深深的顶拜您的莲花足，每天念诵16圈，有人说必须要在早上6点之前念完，是这样吗 ？Hare Krishna Guru Day， thank please accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet. I want to ask a question about 16 rounds every day. Some devotees Some people say that we have to finish all the 16 rounds before 6 o'clock in the morning. Is that true or not?
No.
那不是这样的。不是说非得在六点之前念完的。
Everybody has a different lifestyle. Everybody has a different schedule.
因为每一个人的这个生活方式不一样，而且他的每天的时间表都是因人而异的。
Some people have plenty of time.
有些人有很多的时间。
So they can chant 16 rounds as soon as they get up in the morning.
那有些人呢，他的时间表充裕，他一早上一起来，他就可以去念。
Some devotees, as soon as they get up, they have service to do.
有一些奉献者就不是这样了，他一起床的话，他就有好多的服务要去做。
I remember one devotee in Paris. He used to do deity worship from 4 o'clock in the morning until 9 o'clock at night.
Non-stop.
我
记得以前在那个法国巴黎的时候，在庙里面有一奉献者，他每天早上4点钟起来。然后就一直的要服务神像，一直服务到晚上9点钟，可以说是一刻不停的。
So he used to do something amazing.
所以呢，他就做一些让我非常惊叹的事情。
You know, when you put the deities to sleep, you remove all the flower garlands.
就是说，当你让这个神像睡觉的时候，你会把神像的这些花环都把它取下来。
So he would wear all the flower garlands.
他就把所有的这个神像的这个花环全都带到自己的身上。
And then he would pace up and down the temple room and chant 16 rounds before going to bed.
然后呢，在接下来他就带着所有这些花环，然后就在这个神庙。里面庙堂里面就是来回一边踱步一边的念诵，就是在睡觉之前把这十六圈都念完。
Prabhupada said when he was a householder and he had family and business, he would chant 4 rounds before breakfast, 4 rounds before lunch, 4 rounds in the afternoon, and 4 rounds before dinner.
那释迦牟尼他说呢，当年他是居士的时候，他同时还有一个非常忙碌的生意要照顾的时候，他是这样念完他的十六圈的：他早餐之前念四圈，午餐之前念四圈，下午念四圈，晚餐之前再念四圈，就这样子把十六圈念完。
The most important is not to chant 16 rounds in one go. The most important is attentive chanting. So whatever it's going to take to be attentive.You do that.
这里的问题的关键不是在于你早上起来一定要一口气的念诵完十六圈，而这里的关键是在于全神贯注。不管你怎样，只要能达到这个全神贯注的念这十六圈，就是很好的。
Some devotees they chant 16 rounds in one go and they're spaced out for 2 hours.
有一些人呢，他们是一口气的念十六圈的，但是念十六圈的这两个小时啊，这个脑子都不知道飞到哪儿去了。
Some devotees chant 8 rounds and 8 rounds.
有的奉献者是分为两半八圈和八圈这样子。
I remember Tamal Krishna Maharaj saying to the devotees, if you can manage to chant 12 rounds in the morning, then you will be guaranteed to finish your rounds by evening.
那我记得以前 Tamal Krishna Goswami 经常跟这些门徒奉献者们强调一点，他说如果你早上就能够念完12圈的话，那么你这一天的16圈一定是有保证的。
There's no strict rules about this.
就是关于这一点并没有太过硬性的规定。OK, 下一个问题来自于手机 YY 新人。 This is from a new devotee. How to find one spiritual master? Thank you very much.
You already found a spiritual master.
你已经找到了自己的灵性导师了。
His name is Srila Prabhupada.
他的名字就是 Srila Prabhupada.
Just embrace Srila Prabhupada. Hear his voice. Hear his kirtan. Read his books. Look at his picture. Watch videos.
你现在就是要完全敞开你的心灵去接纳 Srila Prabhupada, 去聆听他的声音，去聆听他的唱诵，他的讲课。还有呢，他的去阅读他的这些书籍，然后去看他的录像等等。
Become very attached to his teachings, to his instructions, to his vision.
首先呢，你现在这个阶段就是要非常的依恋于他的教导、他的声音、他的形象等等。
This is the first thing that you should do. Srila Prabhupada is your guru.
首先这个第一点就是 Srila Prabhupada 就是你的 guru, 你的灵性导师要确立这一点。
When you have this attitude,then gradually the person who will give you initiation will come your way.
当你呢就是在这一点上面非常的明确而且是非常坚定之后一段时间之后呢那位要启迪你的灵性导师就是这个 Diksha Guru 就会出现在你的生命里。
There are no scarcity of Diksha Gurus.
现在我们并不缺这个启迪灵性导师。
Take full shelter of Srila Prabhupada.
现在你要完全的托庇于 Srila Prabhupada. Okay. So you don't have to talk about, okay, that's the only preparation one should have.
Yeah, of course.
这个就是你在这个启迪灵性导师出现在你的生命之前你要做的充分的准备。下一个问题来自于16892873339。Hare Krishna, 顶拜 Guru, 顶拜翻译顶拜所有奉献者请问刚刚了解 Krishna 知觉的人想在家里设立神坛供奉可以吗需要什么条件才有供奉的资格呢if someone who just comes in contact with Krishna consciousness, but he wants to establish the altar,to do the offering, is that okay? So what is makes one eligible for making an offering? What's the qualifications?
Your desire.
you mean one can establish an altar? 就是在家里面去设立一个神坛供奉是可以的。那么至于这个条件的话首先就是你要有这个愿望你有这种强烈的愿望去供奉。
Desire is the qualification.
你现在的就是这种愿望就是你的资格。
But you need guidance how to set up this altar, what picture should be there.
但是你这个神坛应当怎么样建设立然后上面需要摆放一些什么样的照片这些具体的东西呢你是需要指导的。
And the most important thing that once you begin establishing an altar, you commit yourself to serve Krishna. Don't stop it. Don't make it just pictures in the corner of the house that just gathers dust.
所以呢，就是但是有一点非常的重要。一旦你设立了这个神坛去供奉，其实就是你的一个承诺。所以说呢，你就是。要认认真真的去做这些供奉了不能说三天打鱼两天晒网就是你不能说把一张照片就搁在家里的某一个角落好放好了然后你就不管它了然后让它去积攒灰尘这个是不可以的。
It's not that one day I feel like doing, one day I don't feel like doing, one day I'm in a hurry, oh, I'll do it tomorrow, it doesn't matter.
所以你不能说我今天想供奉了那我心血来潮我就供奉了明天就不怎么想了那我就不弄了或者说在有一天我太忙了我供奉不了了所以说呢是不能这样三天打鱼两天晒网的有一搭没一搭的这个不行就这样太随心所欲。
Prabhupada says the big deity in the temple, the small deity at home, Krishna on the picture, absolutely no difference. Krishna is right there.
那释迦牟尼佛他是明确了一点，说不管是大庙里面的大神像呢，还是家里面的小神像，还是你神坛上的这个照片呢，都是一样的，都是 Krishna. Krishna 就在那里。
That's why we're not supposed to have pictures of Krishna in our bedroom.
这就是为什么说我们不能在我们的卧室里面放这个 Krishna 的照片。Finished?
Yeah.
好，下一个问题来自于阳光灿烂顶拜咕噜的莲花组，感谢翻译，请问灵性世界是怎样的？有详细的记载吗？What does the spiritual world look like? Is there any detailed description of the spiritual world?
Absolutely. Read the Krishna book.
绝对是有的关于这个灵性世界你去看一看这本书就是 Krishna 快乐的泉源。
Just read the Krishna book. There are 99 or 90 stories.
就是在那里面有90章里面就是关于灵性世界都有很详细的记载。
If you read the Krishna book and you chant the Maha Mantra, you will see the spiritual world.
你看这些书，然后你去念诵这个 Mahamantra， 我们的这个曼陀罗，你就有一朝一日，你就一定能看到灵性新世界的。
And if you want more description of the spiritual world, you read Sri Brahma Samhita.
那如果你还想进一步的了解灵性世界究竟是怎样的那些细节的话，你可以看那个《婆罗诃摩赞》（Brahma Samhita）， 或者叫那个《梵天本集》，还有一个翻译的方法叫《梵天本集》。下一个问题来自于安然，请问孤独出席奉爱瑜伽有什么？有必须的次第吗？比如先学祷文、梵文，再阅读国家梵歌，再读寡谈等等，或者可以按照奉献者的属性和爱好安排学习的次第。My question is, I would like to know for those neophyte devotees, is there any sequence for studies recommended to these devotees, like systematic studies? For example, you start with the prayers and Sanskrit.Prayers, and then you move on to Bhagavad Gita reading and Srimad Bhagavatam, etc. Or any devotees can just arrange their own studies and their own systems based on his nature and likings.
No, I mentioned in the class there is what we know as Bhakti Shastri.
But even before Bhakti Shastri,
you mean before you open a book?
Like for new, someone who just came to know about Krishna consciousness, what do they do? The sequence?
Well, you should learn, first of all, the mantras to offer respect to the spiritual master.
就是这一方面有我们刚才所讲的 Bhakti Shastra 奉爱课程那四本书，然后一点一点。但是在那之前的话呢，就是对于刚进来的奉献者来说的话，他首先要学的就是灵性导师的顶拜祷文。That's Srila Prabhupada's pranam. 这是 Srila Prabhupada 的pranam mantra， 就是 Srila Prabhupada 的顶拜祷文，从这个先开始学。
Then we have the mantra to the Panchatattva.
然后是五圣谛的顶拜祷文。
Who are the personalities who brought about the chanting of Hare Krishna?
那就是他们把这个唱诵 Hare Krishna 曼陀罗的这种方法呢。
And then there is the Mahamantra Hare Krishna.
然后是 Mahamantra 的这个念诵。
So these are the first thing that we learn to do.
这个是我们一开始就去学习的。
To offer respect to the Guru and to chant the holy name.
就是一开始的就是要培养的是对 Guru 的这种恭敬心，然后有了这种顶拜这种恭敬心之后呢，然后你再做后面的，就开始念诵曼陀罗呀，然后后面的。But in terms of the books,
and then there are some small books you can suggest.
然后有一些，接下来就是有一些小书奉献者可以看的，比如说再回来啊，唱诵啊，变快乐啊，超越生死啊，至尊奥义书啊，就是BBT 出了一个想读版的，就是薄薄的小小的。那些书啊，包括那个，还有接下来之以后，可能还有教会的甘露啊，这些书。
Yes.
在一开始的是 Srila Prabhupada 的一些书， mm-hmm. 小小的那种，薄薄的，相当于是那种导读的那样 ，Krishna 智觉导读的这些书。
But it's also important to have a strict vegetarian diet.
那对出席者来说，一开始呢，就是要去保持这个素食，也是非常重要的。
And to refrain from intoxication.
就不要去这个服用麻醉品啊什么之类的。
Gambling.
还有这个赌博什么。
And illicit sex outside of marriage.
然后婚外的非法的性行为。He means that devotee can just pick up whatever they want, based on his nature.
No, I'm just giving the foundation.
就是现在呢，就是 Radha Shambhu 讲的是一个基础，就是不管你以后是怎么学，但是所有的新来的奉献者都要有这样的一个坚实的基础。
Now, The book that everybody reads first is the Bhagavad Gita.
那奉献者呢，正式读的这个大的书就是从《薄伽梵歌》开始。
And there are other small books that may help to understand the Bhagavad Gita.
还有一些辅助性的一些小书可以帮助你更好的去。
But we can't just pick just any book out of the shelf. Like we can't start our life by reading the Srimad Bhagavatam.
但是你不能说是你在书架上看到的芬兰经典，你就随便拿下来就开始读。比如说。你不能从圣典薄伽瓦坛开始读。
And also, it's very important that we read Prabhupada's books with the help of another devotee.
还有一个很重要的，就是在你的阅读需要爸爸的书籍的过程当中，要有其他的奉献者的帮助。
And of course, listening to lectures that will help to understand the books also.
还有就是说去聆听这个讲课呢，也是很重要的。这些讲课可以帮助你去理解经典。But then in terms of chanting, cooking, these kind of service, it's based on devotee's own what preference?
Yeah, this is training by the devotee.
那至于那些唱诵啊，还有烹饪这些东西呢，可能就是要根据每一个奉献者自己的这种倾向了。不过也是要在奉献者的训练下面去做。Okay, that's it. 下一个问题来自于陈冠江且参念 Charam Prabhu 礼拜 Prabhu 和奉献者们，刚才 Prabhu 讲到了念诵阅读经典崇拜神像依靠灵性导师，有些地方我们对灵性导师没有什么感情，对于阅读经典崇拜神像也没有认真去做，临沂时大家的焦点也是争论谁对谁错，这种情况有什么办法让他们进步呢？You just mentioned about the importance of reading the Shastras, worshipping the deities, following the spiritual masters. But sometimes in some part of China, devotees don't have much feelings for the spiritual masters, nor do they really make effort to do serious reading of the Shastras or worshipping of the deities. At the programs, what they do mostly is to argue who is right and who is wrong. In that case, what kind of help can we give to them for helping them to make spiritual advancement?
Well, if you are the one pointing it out, which means you should be mature enough to help them.
如果说呢，你现在能够看到并且指出他们的这些问题的话，那就说明你应该足以成熟的去亲自的去指导他们了。
And you should reach out to the local authority or the highest authority in that area, and you should bang on the door and get on your knees and scream and ask for help until you get it, you don't stop.
然后还有一个，你就可以到当地去找到当地的这个权威人士或者是这个领导啊，去砸他们的门，然后跪在他面前又哭又喊又求，一定要他把这个问题给解决。除非他能够拿出实际的办法来解决这些问题，你就不罢休。
You see, sometimes devotees, they have problems and they don't deal with the problems when they begin to, when the problems emerge.
Yes, right. 就是说问题就是说很多奉献者呀，他就认这个问题的这个发展的越来越严重，而不是说在他萌芽的时候就把它遏制住。
So the problem grows.
然后这个问题呢就越来越严
重。Until you can't solve it anymore.
最后呢就这个积重难返，根本就解决不了。
Now we have to understand there is a structure.
其实这是我们是有一个结构一个方法的。
As soon as you notice something is wrong, you go to the highest person, the next person up.
就是我们有这样的一个系统，就是说你一旦发现了有什么问题，出现了什么问题的话，马上去找这个上级更高一级的人去解决。
If that person cannot help, you go to the person above that.
那在网上的那一级还没有解决这个问题的话，你就再上诉。
If that person cannot help, you go to the person above that.
那要是再往上一级还解决不了，你就再继续往上找。
Go to the GBC, go to the guru directly and ask for help.
你可以去找这个 GBC, 去找这个灵性导师，去向他们这个祈求帮助。
Don't let things accumulate.
不要让这些问题累积起来，变得没有办法解决。 finished. Vara, so many questions. Vara Dasvar, 顶拜 Guru 的莲花主题问，当念诵圣名时偶尔身体发热是什么原因？ Sometimes when I chant the holy names, I feel the heat coming out from my body. Why is that? My body becomes heat.
I don't know.
我不知道你身体为什么发热。
Don't worry about it. Keep chanting.
你不用担心发热还是不发热，你继续念诵就好了。
The main thing is not the heat of the body. The main thing is to be attentive to the sound of the name of Krishna.
这里最关键的问题不是说你的身体发热到底是什么原因，你这个或者说它有没有多重要，而是说你是否能够非常专注的去聆听你所念诵的圣名。
Chanting the Maha Mantra Hare Krishna is not a yoga practice.
要知道念诵 Hare Krishna 并不是一种普通的那种瑜伽训练。
It's a conversation with the Supreme Personality of God.
这是跟至尊人格神之间的一个对话。
So nothing extraordinary physical will happen unless you are a pure devotee and you have ecstatic symptoms.
就是这种身体上面的那种不同寻常的那种反应，那种真相，只有当你达到了狂喜的时候，真正的达到了很高的纯粹分爱服务的这个境界的时候，才会展示出来。就是说是纯粹的奉献者才有这种身体上的分爱这种狂喜的征兆的。Okay, Ishvara Davidasi, 请问 Guru, 神像睡觉了，我还可以在神像房出声的念诵和读经典吗？会不会影响神像休息呢？别的房间都有家人在干别的事，只有神像房洁净，也喜欢在神像房里做这些活动。When the deities go to sleep, can I still, chant and read the shastras in the deity room? Would that affect the deities' sleep?Because in other rooms, there are other family members doing their own things. Even only the deity room is clean and quiet. So I like to do all sorts of spiritual things in the deity room. Is that okay?
Yes, it's okay, but quiet.
是可以的，但是你要非常的轻。Quiet means you can still have a little bit voice there, right?
Yes.
就是你要很轻声的。
If you put the deities to rest, means you have to respect that they are resting.
就是因为神像已经睡觉了，所以说呢，神像是人格的，所以你要尊重他的睡眠，不能吵醒他。
Actually, we have to understand that the deities actually never rest.
不过其实我们要知道，神像是永远不睡觉的。
The deities are always 24 hours a day for eternity engaged in pastime.
其实神像是一天二十四小时分分秒秒的都在上演着他的逍遥时光的，沉浸在他的逍遥时光里。
That's why we have a bell when we enter the temple.
这就是为什么我们进这个神像房或者神庙的时候要去摇那个铃。
That's why we blow the conch when we do the arti.
就是我们做 arti灯仪的时候也要吹响海螺。
That's why we ring a bell when we do the arti.
然后我们做 arti 的时候我们要摇那个铃。
It means the deities are engaged in pastime.
这就是因为这个神像，它是一直在它的逍遥时光里的。
So when we put them to rest, it means they move on to another pastime.
就是当我们让它休息了，那么这个神呢，它神像呢，它就进入了新的逍遥时光了。
So it's okay. It's a good space to continue chanting or to continue reading, but we have to respect the space.
所以就是这个，在神像房里面，你继续的去做一些灵性的这个服务，那这个是可以的。但是我们必须要去尊重这个空间，
No problem, 没问题啊。
OK, Jaya Padma Devi Dasi, Hare Krishna, 请代他不感恩翻译和主持人。请问您刚才说不要在卧室设置神像，家里条件有限，没办法单独设置神像怎么办？He just mentioned that we shouldn't install the altar or the deities or the pictures in the bedrooms, but we have very limited facilities and we don't have enough space, so we can't have separate deity room, what to do then?
It's okay, it's fine. I'm talking in general.
我刚才讲的只是泛泛而言的，所以说是，你如果没有足够的空间在卧室里面去设这个神像也是可以的。
The restrictions in China are completely understood.
就是我们中国奉献者的条件有限，这个大家都是能理解的。
We had one devotee who used to worship the deities in the drawer of a desk.
我们曾经有一个奉献者，他是在这个把神像藏在那个抽屉里面。
She would not even take the deities out of the drawer. She just opened the drawer, offered some prayers, and then closed the drawer. That's it.
他都没有办法，这就是放松的去做这个崇拜，把这抽屉一打开，念了这个祷文，然后再把这个抽屉关上。
So it's okay. As long as, but the thing is,You have to make sure that your bedroom is always very clean.
就是你可以在卧室里面去做这个崇拜，但是有一点就是你必须要非常的干净，这个卧室非常非常的干净。Okay.
It's not easy. I'm very touched that the devotees can practice Krishna consciousness in those conditions.
就是奉献者们能够在这样有限的条件当中都去做奉献服务，进行奉爱瑜伽的修习，这一点非常让人感动。我非常的感动。下一个就是 Atma Prabhu 询问 Atma Mataji 哦，叫 Haribo， 感谢 Guru， 感谢翻译。奉献者在奉爱瑜伽里怎样理解，怎样区分好的联谊和不好的联谊 ？How to understand the definition of devotee in Bhakti Yoga？ How do we discriminate or make the difference between good association and bad association or not that good association?
Well, on the principle, there's actually no such a thing as good or bad association.
从这个原则上而言的话，没有什么好的联谊和不好的联谊之分。
Association is.By principle on the transcendental platform.
就是我们一说到这个联谊，其实实际上来说的话，就是在这个超然的层面上而言的。
Now there's two things. There is what we call as good association and bad association amongst the devotees, and then there is association with devotees.And association with non-devotees. That's different.
就是这里在有奉献者的这个联谊。然后好的联谊坏的不太好的联谊那么还有这个就是和奉献者的联谊还有与非奉献者的联谊
So, you know, it's difficult to define what is good and bad association in Krishna consciousness because devotees are still all supposed to be good association.
就是很难去定义什么联谊是好的什么是不好的因为奉献者在一起的话就本来就应该都有好的联谊。
Now, what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching Sanatana Goswami is to avoid those who are not going to help you make spiritual progress.
那么Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 给 Sanatana Goswami 的教导就是要去避免那些不利于你去做奉献服务的这种联谊。
And those who are not interested in Krishna consciousness.
还有要避免那些和对 Krishna 知觉没有任何兴趣的人去联谊。
Or those who may be opposed to Krishna consciousness.
或者是那些就是对于奉爱服务有抵触的，就是反对的那些人。
And we have to be very careful not to agitate these people.
那作为这些人的话呢，我们就不要去这个，就是激发他，去搅扰他。But I think what she actually means is what's the definition of devotee. So even among devotees, we have to know who are the real devotees. And if some devotee, although they're devotee, but actually in quality, they're probably not like that. That's why we don't feel it's very good association.
We should not think that way. We have to be very careful.
那我刚才就是给 Prabhu 说了，可能你在这个问题的 意思就是有暗含的这样的一个意思，就是说奉献者到底什么定义呢？到底什么样的品格的奉献者算是真正的奉献者呢？因为有一些奉献者可能没有展示出奉献者的品格，我们就觉得跟他们联谊不是好的联谊。那帕布的回答就是说，我们在这一点上，我们这种分别心上面，我们一定要非常非常的谨慎，非常小心，我们不能去做这样的一种主观的就是分别判断。
Anyone who chants Hare Krishna, anyone who has taken shelter of the spiritual master, anyone who serves Krishna is a devotee.
就是念诵十六圈的奉献者，去顶拜了灵性导师，就是接受托庇灵性导师的奉献者，那些念诵主的圣名做奉献服务的人，就是奉献者。
Everything else is a question of personalities, of false ego, mentality.
剩下的就是只是说奉献者的一个心态啊，他的个性啊，或者说他的那个假我使然。
And these things you sit down and you work them out.
那么这些问题，奉献者展示出来的这些问题的话，那大家就要好好的坐下来，想办法去解决这些问题。
Everyone is a devotee.
每一个人都是奉献者。
And not only that, there are so few of them that we have to
cherish.
Yeah.
就是说，因为我们奉献者的人数呢，其实是非常的少的，所以一定要珍惜和奉献者的联谊。嗯。
Okay. So, Sumukhi Radha Mataji, are we finished for today?
Sumukhi Radha Mataji, 看一下。就是我们今天就回答到这里，讲到这里了，可以吗？
Okay. Thank you so much, Sumukhi Radha Mataji.
感谢 Sumukhi Radha Mataji 的主持。
Thank you, Krishna Premi Mataji, for your translation.
感谢 Krishna Premi Mataji 的翻译。
Thank you to all the devotees, and especially for your excellent question.
感谢所有的奉献者，感谢，尤其是感谢你们问出的好问题。
Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Kesha Desh Yatra ki jai, Gaur Premanande Haribol.
白坤塔之音服务员一零听下的奉献者们，今天的永恒的 Chaitanya 经是 Chaitanya Charitamrita 的讲课就到这里结束。我们现在讲到的是 Madhya Lila 中篇逍遥的第22章，现在讲到的是115个世界。感谢大家今天的聆听，我们下周同一时间再见， Hare Krishna。